大概就先几个做那么远做了本就是如果说上也觉得做觉得那就把多大年就是大概就先几个做那么远做了本就是如果说上也觉得做觉得那就把多大年就是大概就先几个做那么远做了本就是三月主播人就我们就在你做你到我怎么解放别人的没有今天的在把我跟人家拿下子了当年你就从我这边拿去也是这个今天的现在比马今天就做了做完的时候那月经去了
哎，大家可以按照你给我，你给我去多少给我的嘛？我今嘛去写的，按照给我，咱这个，给我签名，俺说那么多话，咱点缀给我了，你给我给我就过过来，就算给我就过完咱，给我这部的了，那，他咱没有过房，给我来三万，那他咱没有过房，都过了，现在，他跟着，俺就过来的。
Good evening. In previous to tonight, this last time, we started to look at the opposite of the 10 non-virtuous actions. So we started to look at the presentation on the virtuous actions, or positive actions to be adopted. The us as sentient beings, we want the same as everyone. We want to experience only happiness. We don't want to experience any form of suffering at all, no matter how slight. So to achieve this, we need to create the causes, and namely, we need to accomplish virtue. And what is the ripening result of the accomplishment of virtue? It is the rebirth in one of the happy migrations, a rebirth in as either a human being or as a god. And this comes about due to accumulating virtue. So we spoke last time about how we all need to make the firm commitment to no longer engage in any non-virtuous acts, and rather to engage in virtuous acts such as those of the six perfections and the like. And last time we started to look here near the bottom of page 117 on the three positive acts of the body, and that we probably looked at last time, so we're going to start here with the four positive acts of speech, the second from bottom paragraph on page
117.
在给我一那的米给我一那的看他啥啥的他那绿一块呢给我啥活的俺那俺绿一块呢米给我啥嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯
Yana, some loan, some of the Taji Migawasa.
Whatever virtuous or non-virtuous acts we engage in, they are all done either through our body, through our speech, and or through our mind. There is no virtuous act and there is no non-virtuous act that is done through a method other than through our body or our speech or our mind. There is no fourth door. So if we look at all the vast array of virtuous acts that there are, all of them can be condensed into the three acts of body, speech, and mind.
So the
merit that comes through physical acts and verbal acts, this tends to be smaller. The merit that comes through mental acts, this is by far the most powerful. And so even when you look at in the context of the six perfections, we see their concentration. So if the other perfections are done with this mind of concentration, then that too becomes that much more powerful. In other words, if one engages in generosity or ethical conduct with a mind of concentration, then that act becomes that much more powerful because of the powerful mind behind that. So for an act of the body or the speech to be virtuous, it depends on the mind, on the motivation that is driving that act, that physical act or that verbal act. So again, the mind is seen as paramount. Looking at the first one of the virtues of speech, so here it is not lying. So the mere act of not lying, that itself is not a virtuous activity. So for example, when we sleep, we don't tend to tell many lies when we are asleep. So when we're sleeping, we're not accumulating the virtue of not lying. This virtue of not lying depends on making the firm commitment, the promise not to lie. Then virtue follows from this. Making the promise not to lie, you're making the commitment not to deceive others and act in a deceptive way. And then furthermore, how does one communicate? Then of course one communicates honestly. So one makes a promise, the commitment, not to lie, but rather to speak honestly.
Killing
So looking at now this commitment not to lie, but to rather communicate honestly, this within this commitment, within this promise, there are various levels of strength. And this then comes back to, comes down to the reason why a person is making this commitment to not engage in the act of lying, but rather to communicate honestly. So if someone is just thinking about this life and thinking, I don't want to be a deceptive person, I don't want to mislead others, I will no longer tell any kind of lie, then such a person will create virtue. They're only thinking about this life, but they've made a commitment. And now when they fulfill this commitment and they're communicating honestly, they will be accumulating virtue. However, if their motivation is somewhat different and they're thinking, well, by lying, I deceive others, and not only does that then cause them unhappiness, but I'm creating negativity. And when that negativity ripens, it can ripen in the propelling karma of propelling a lower realm rebirth. I don't want to be born in one of the suffering lower realms. I don't want to have to experience that. So therefore, I'm going to abandon lying so as not to create further causes to be born in the lower realms. So that's a different motivation, and this motivation leads to far more merit being accumulated. Similarly, someone whose understanding of samsara is that much more developed, they will understand that whilst a human rebirth is preferable and desirable, this still is trapped within samsara. One still experiences suffering upon suffering upon suffering within a human rebirth. So such a person would want to attain, knowing this, is liberation from this cycle of samsara, the cycle of samsara. So with such a motivation, they will abandon lying, because they will want to abandon all the causes that result in being obstacles to the attainment of liberation. So this person makes the same commitment as the other two people, but with a very different motivation, and therefore they accumulate so much more merit.
Gawa top chishun said, some yi nane, some of you chishun da,
Then the most powerful motivation that leads to the greatest accumulation of merit from the commitment to abandon acts such as lying. This comes about independence on thinking about not only one's own situation and seeing how that relates to each and every other sentient being. So being aware of the suffering that we experience as individuals, and then realizing how every single sentient being is suffering in exactly the same way, trapped within samsara as they are. And every sentient being, like myself, only wants to experience happiness and doesn't want to experience any form of suffering at all. And then taking that understanding to that the step a little further, it's making this commitment that I myself will be the one to lead all sentient beings to the state free from all suffering, the state where happiness is only experienced. And for me to have the ability to be able to lead all sentient beings to such a state, I have to attain the state of a Buddha. Because it's only through attaining the state of Buddhahood will I have the necessary skill and ability to lead all sentient beings successfully to a similar state, the state of Buddhahood. To do that, I need to eliminate obstacles and accumulate a huge store of virtue, because without a huge store of merit, then the attainment of Buddhahood is impossible. Therefore, lying needs to be abandoned. Speaking honestly, and the virtue of speaking honestly, this needs to be accumulated. So this is a much, much more powerful motivation. Then in addition to thinking like this, then such a person would also reflect on the subject matter that we studied in the Heart Sutra earlier in the year. And they think how the act of lying, this is a dependent arising. A lie, speaking in an untruthful manner, this is dependent on causes and conditions. Then similarly, truthfully, this too is a dependent arising. It too is not truly existent or existent from its own side. Then furthermore, every person such as myself, every person is not existent from its own side. The person doesn't exist in the way that it appears, but is rather a dependent arising. And furthermore, this goal that we're striving for, attaining the state of Buddhahood, that state of Buddhahood itself is not truly existent. So then thinking about emptiness in this way, as well as the previous way of thinking, which were our bodhicitta, thinking with both of these minds, then the motivation is exceptionally powerful, and the merit that is derived from this commitment not to lie is so much more powerful. So here, the key thing that we've looked at in this presentation right now is that the strength of the merit, or the store, the amount of merit that's accumulated, is entirely dependent on the motivation that is set. So if no motivation is set, if there's no wish to lie, merit's not accumulated. If the motivation is just for a small goal, such as just thinking about this life, merit's accumulated, but much less. And then if it's a Dharma goal, progressively, that much more powerful, or that much far greater store of merit is accumulated.
Then
the second virtual speech, that is the promise to give up sowing discord, or the promise to give up divisive speech. So again, one makes a conscious effort that one will no longer engage in sowing discord. So one makes that conscious promise to no longer engage in divisive speech. Then furthermore, one makes the conscious promise to, whenever the opportunity arises, those who are not in harmony, I will try to bring them into harmony. I will reconcile differences between people and try and bring people together and have and encourage them and assist them to live together in harmony. So there are these two components. The one of promising not to engage in divisive speech, and the second component of whenever I have the opportunity to be of benefit to others through reconciling differences, I will do that.
With harsh
speech, it's similar. There are two aspects. The one aspect of making the commitment to no longer engage in any form of harsh speech or coarse speech. And then the second aspect is that when I communicate, to only communicate in a manner that's pleasant, that's gentle. And so here, we're making the commitment no longer to harm others with our speech, but rather to communicate with others in a way that's pleasant and gentle. So we have, with all of these, there are these two aspects: the promise not to engage in a negative, and the commitment to, whenever possible, to engage in the positive. Then the fourth and final virtue relating to speech is that of promising to abandon useless chatter or idle speech. So through making the promise to no longer engage in useless chatter or idle speech, then one accumulates virtue. And then the aspect of the practice in terms of what one should engage in, as it says here in the text, instead to recite prayers. So here this doing one's commitments, reciting mantras such as Om Mani Padme Hum, reading Dharma texts and the like. So then that of course will lead to the accumulation of virtue. And what the meaning of this, what it says here, reciting prayers, is it's broader than just that. It means that whenever one is engaging in communication or conversation with others, that one should do so in accordance with the meaning of the Dharma. So it of course doesn't mean that you necessarily speaking about the Dharma, but rather you have the motivation to be of benefit to others. So then, with this motivation to be of benefit to others, one will be communicating with others through the meaning of the Dharma present in your mind. So in this way, one will not be engaging in idle speech or a useless chatter, but will rather be directly or indirectly talking about the Dharma with a motivation to be of benefit to others.
That
stand up sims here, the Taojin Chigimi, Sempiga Samlo de, the Nigi Killing Jedi, stand up sim Bambi Kiawasi, the Nigi that, the Nigi Killing Jenny, the Nana, some Gantan Warren, Jela, and that the Nigi, that is so good, don't you, Sembaruch, don't send Changu, that Shanja, the Nation of Robert Jason, the Robert Chigo, Shanja, Robert Chigi, Sempiga, the Nigi, Shanja, Roach, some of the Yajangu, and then also.
Coming to the mental virtues, so the first one is the promise to give up the mind of covetousness. So the contemplation is to abandon the mind of covetousness, and then the second component is to cultivate the mind wanting to be of benefit to others, to help others in whatever way one can, so through practicing generosity and the like, and then making the commitment that whenever one has the opportunity to be of benefit to others or to engage in an act of generosity towards others, that one will do so. The second one is giving up the mind of harmful intent. So the virtue of abandoning harmful intent, without the wish to harm others. So that's the first component, and the second component is to contemplate and then make the commitment that everything I do, I will do with the intent to be of benefit to others. And when I have the opportunity to be of benefit to others, I will engage in beneficial activities or beneficial speech to help others. So here again, this virtue of abandoning harmful intent is as the component of the promise no longer to engage in such a mind or sustain such a mind, but rather to cultivate a mind wanting to benefit others and then to act upon that mind. Then the last one here is to put an end to wrong views. So here one makes the commitment to no longer engage in thinking about wrong views. So the wrong views here would include thoughts such as Buddhas don't exist, or the law of causality doesn't exist, or happiness doesn't follow from virtue. So one makes a commitment to no longer hold such views, but to rather cultivate views that are in accordance with reality, such as the law of causality, that happiness follows from virtue, thinking about emptiness and the like. So here we make the commitment to abandon wrong views and to rather cultivate views which are in accordance with reality.
Napsim jigime sembe. Napsim sevadi ke yune jigime sembe. Then nursing guinea chicken, Michelle, never said guinea chicken, SMB sometime. Then Lokta said guinea, Lokbatana, Jigmar, Tunis, Jigme, SMB, some of the Dutch dealer, and a Kehachu cigar. You know, I used to make Kehachu Negro.
So we've looked now at the 10 virtuous acts. So just to remind ourselves of what they are again, it's a promise not to kill. It's a promise not to take what's not given, it's a promise not to steal. And it's a promise not to engage in sexual misconduct. And those are the three related to the body. Then the four related to speech are the promise not to lie, the promise not to engage in divisive speech, the promise not to engage in harsh speech, and fourthly, the promise not to engage in worthless chatter. And then the three related to the mind will be the promise not to engage in the covetous in the mind of covetousness, the promise not to engage in the mind of harmful intent, and lastly, the promise not to follow wrong views. So those were the 10 virtues of body, speech, and mind. So these 10 virtues are fall into a classification of ethical conduct. So by abandoning the 10 non-virtues, by making a firm commitment to abandon the 10 non-virtues, one engages in the practice of guarding one's ethical conduct. And as we've heard before, that this guarding of ethical conduct, this is the cause that leads to the ripening result of a rebirth that attained it in the higher realms, in the happier realms. So from guarding our ethical conduct, we're creating the causes to be reborn as either a human, a demigod, or a god. And then what differentiates those three different rebirths is the strength of the karma that was created, the karmic seed or the karmic imprint that was created. So if the karmic imprint was particularly powerful and that ripens as a propelling karma, it will propel the rebirth as a desire realm god. If the strength of the karmic imprint that ripens is of a middling strength, it will lead to the rebirth as a demigod. And if it's a weaker karmic imprint of virtue, that or virtue relating to ethical conduct that ripens, it will lead to the rebirth as a human being. So all three of those rebirths in the happy migrations, they come from the accumulation of virtue, and how the strength of that virtue is dependent on the motivation upon which that cause was accumulation, the strength and the power of that motivation.
Then,
So several of these virtuous acts, several of these virtuous acts, these are accepted by society at large as being virtuous acts to engage in. So, for example, people in society, whether they're religious or non-religious, they would agree that killing should be abandoned, that it's not good to lie, that one shouldn't engage in sexual misconduct. And in fact, it's quite common for parents to teach their children such virtue as this, or ethical conduct such as this. So a number of these here aren't exclusive to Buddhists, but are accepted by society at large. And so therefore, whomever makes the commitment that they will not engage in a non-virtuous act such as killing or lying or sexual misconduct, then they will create virtue from making that commitment. So those of other religions, who they will accept that acts such as killing and lying are harmful and should be abandoned. And so if someone's of a different religion, say a Muslim, then they would generally agree that one should abandon killing humans and the like, and one shouldn't lie. And amongst them, amongst non-Buddhists, some would say, yes, this is a virtuous act. And some of them, they may not accept the concept of virtue, but the practice comes down to the same, in terms of not engaging in these acts, abandoning these acts, making a commitment to abandon these acts, whether they're virtuous or not. Well, some people accept the concept of virtue and some won't. But in general, there's agreement on a number of these virtuous acts. Furthermore, in the Christian practice, there's the cultivation of the minds of love and compassion for other beings. So this is an accepted practice within Christianity. So whether they consider this something that leads to virtue or not, I don't know. But they certainly do have this as a practice. Whether they talk about virtue or not, I'm not sure. But they do have the practice of cultivating love and compassion for others. So therefore, this is a virtuous practice that we have in common with other practitioners or other people within society, such as Christians.
Call it Tavala and Diva Bangu or Diva said, Simjan Sosu Chin Diva, the Indangi Diva, Jimmy, Sambia Samlo, Nene Gunelache, Shella, Simjan Samjan Sanyo, Top Gudu, 타발아 디버방고 거래 제가 심지어 소주진 디버래 세상에 따오진 디버지기매 심지어 삼주에 산주 고마 토비 최동이 디버 싸워든 지기매 세베 삼로 찍다 안에 타바 토비 최도 디버지기매 세베 삼로 디네 삼 따바이나 다 먼저 건조 숨 잡내 야다 디가라 건조 숨 잡내 야다 켈메 잡내 타두디리 다 디네 인자 건조 숨비 가서 심지어 소주진 디버 용고래세 숨고 버제다 니 건조 숨 잡 야다 켈메 인자 甚至说是结巴因甚至说是结那三级的个关注什么的个人卡住的是啊今天当然这个没甚至什么的今天也是给话题的所以帮别给话学了吧那边出门买别给话切过来可是关注什么结巴养大的可以连第一进入的是心比团呢你说是这个没甚至给话题那边出门买给话你给了你讲吧当然你也准备心吧那他吧当然他们就进入去切过来今天的
Whilst we see here that there are a number of the virtuous acts that are common between Buddhists and other people within society, what is unique to Buddhists is this emphasis on the motivation. So whilst there may be agreement between Buddhists and non-Buddhists that killing should be abandoned, lying should be abandoned, etc., what is unique to Buddhists is the particular motivation that we as Buddhists cultivate. So the motivation we cultivate, which often starts off with refuge, so we have faith in the three jewels, and having faith in the Buddha, the Buddhist teachings, and the Buddhist community, the Arya Sangha, we have faith in what's been taught, and here it's been taught, for example, to abandon killing. And why must killing being abandoned? Well, that too is included within the Dharma. And there comes the presentation about causality from engaging in negative acts. Negative karmic imprints are accumulated, and these ripen in suffering and the entire samsaric experience. And to break this cycle of samsara, one needs to abandon the accumulation of non-virtue. So what's unique to the Buddhist is not the act of not killing, or the agreement to, or the commitment to not kill, but it will rather be this motivation. Then the unique aspect is the motivation. I will abandon all non-virtue so as to stop creating causes that lead to the perpetuation of my samsaric experience. So this motivation is unique to Buddhists.
Now,
this commitment not to engage in, for example, to abandon the act of killing or any of these other non-virtues, making a commitment, for example, not to kill. So this is, from this then virtue follows. And this virtue that follows, this is something that's common to Buddhists and non-Buddhists, because this is a view that is shared throughout society. However, there is another aspect that is unique or uncommon to Buddhists, and that is the motivation upon which one makes this decision to no longer engage in this non-virtuous act of, for example, killing. And so the unique aspect, this motivation, is wanting to attain one of the Dharma goals of a rebirth and a happier migration or liberation or enlightenment. So this motivation aspect, that is unique to Buddhists. And so there's the common aspect and an uncommon aspect. A common aspect shared with non-Buddhists and an uncommon aspect that's only found amongst Buddhists. So when virtue is accumulated, when virtue is accumulated, how does this virtue become the cause for, say, a high realm rebirth, or for liberation, or the cause for enlightenment? So this then depends on the motivation with which the practitioner made this commitment to no longer engage in a particular act, a non-virtuous act. So with the commitment to not engage in killing because one doesn't want to accumulate the causes to be born in the lower realms, but rather be born in the higher realms, then that virtue that has been accumulated through that commitment, that virtue becomes a cause for attaining a higher realm rebirth. If the motivation is, I will no longer create the negativity of killing because I don't want to create the causes to remain perpetually stuck within samsara, rather I want to be liberated from samsara, therefore I will abandon killing and rather protect life, then making the same promise but with a different motivation, then that virtue that's accumulated, that is now more powerful, also becomes, it's not only more powerful, but it's also the cause to attain liberation. And thirdly, if the practitioner has the motivation to abandon killing because they want to rather accumulate virtue so as to liberate all sentient beings from samsara entirely, and in fact not only lead them to nirvana but to lead them to a state of full enlightenment, then with this motivation, again making the same commitment but with a much more powerful motivation, far more merit is accumulated, and that merit then will ripen as a cause for the attainment of Buddhahood. So then in brief, there are four unique components or uncommon components to virtue that apply to Buddhists. One relates to the unique refuge. So one refuses to engage in acts of killing because of it's contrary to the teachings of the Buddha, and one, as a Buddhist going for refuge to the Buddha Dharma Sangha, one makes a commitment to act in accordance with what has been taught, act in accordance with the path that has been presented. So this is the motivation relating to refuge, and that's unique to Buddhists. The second is the motivation relating to attaining a favorable rebirth in future lives. So that is also unique to Buddhists. And the third that is unique to Buddhists is the motivation to attain liberation from samsara. And then the fourth is to attain full enlightenment.
Now the Shiyataya Jawala, and the Joseph Jawa Imbala, Mini Biju Tandu Kabla Chata Pumaduana, Mini Chata, Michana Yakavuchiata, and next Yahoo Toa Yahuchi and Nubashira, J. Tugu Marwa, Nubuchu Mada Yomarwa, Yumarwa.
Let's take an illustration of a performer, so someone who a singer. So a singer will train to sing very beautifully. They'll learn the words. They'll learn how to sing it in a melodious manner. However, to bring a presentation or a pleasing experience to an audience, just being able to sing beautifully and remember the words correctly and sing beautifully isn't enough. They tend to need to be able to dance as well. So a singer wants to be a successful performer, will practice their singing, they'll practice their leg movements, they'll practice where their arms are going, etc. So they'll be able to sing and dance at the same time. But that alone isn't, those two alone aren't enough. Then the singer will also train in the facial expression that they need to show. If they're looking too concentrated or serious, trying to get it all right, then although their singing is very beautiful and their movement is very elegant, the audience won't take much pleasure in the show. So rather, they need to train to bring all these various elements together and done in the correct sequence and harmoniously. And if they are done so, then the audience will really enjoy what they're seeing. But if just one of them, one of the elements is missing, then the whole performance is going to lack the power and the potential that it would otherwise have.
Oh, ที่นั่นเช่นทั้งอาตุกุลวัติเลียเจ้าเชื่อมางาส่งเลยทุบไปชุดถ้าดามีกบวัตถุไปชุดกุลวัติกุลวัติเจ้าอันนั้นทารวัตถุไปชุดวันเงี้ยจงกุลวัติเช่นเช่นทั้งที่ก็ต้องสังเกตว่าทุบไปจริงๆสิบกุลวัติกุลวัติสุ่มที่นี่กุลวัติมีดาวะสุ่มอยู่เลยสิจิกจ้าสารวะนั่นเดี๋ยวนี้ถ้าเดี๋ยวนี้ก็ได้เนี่ยแต่ช่วยกันนี่ชิ้นเนี่ยร่างละน้าวตาเช่นรู้ว่าจิตเอาจริงเนี่ยยอมมาเลยพอเลยพอตาบาดตั้งตัวไปตาบาดตั้งเลยนี่จะเดี๋ยว ちょっと待って。 삼노코투바이나 딜레 안에 동유도비 따와로다. 안에 권조수는 접수되게 점로다. 삼로 차사 니 분노 봐이나. 니네 니버 쳔보. 안에 배 니버 개와 슉 쳔보 차야다. 니버 쳔보 차고 그래. 안 니네 인자 니네 그 니버 쳔보 차야도 소수게 인가로 싸지 비 니버 카라요네. 마 니버 슉 쳔. 니버 배 니메 쇠투야다. 니만가도 니버 싸지 니버 망고여로 봐. 니네선에 개와 호톱 쳔보 차야다. 니 도쳔 니버 디게 니버 쳔 줘야. 니네 그 제반자 타바다. 대 예,
So similar to the illustration with the singer and the dancer, with the singing and dancing performer, we can apply this to what we've been studying here. So first of all, we should turn our minds towards the objects of refuge and see them as faultless. And seeing them as faultless, we then cultivate a motivation. So a motivation thinking about higher realm, rebirth in the higher realms, in other words, as a human or as a god. Developing the motivation for to generate the mind of definite emergence, this mind of renunciation, because with this mind of definite emergence, it's required to attain the second Dharma goal, that of liberation. And then we continue the contemplation to the third object, that of the state of Buddhahood. So here, if we have this sequence of the mind running through from contemplating on the three jewels, seeing them as a faultless refuge, to thinking about the three Dharma goals. And this, and especially the third one, the one of Buddhahood, this is the most important one. And then in addition to this, thinking about how we want to be free from suffering, all sentient beings do too, and therefore I myself make the commitment to liberate them from that state. In addition to thinking about bodhicitta in that way, we should also then turn our mind towards emptiness and think to ourselves that whatever phenomenon appears to my mind, I must investigate the way that it appears. And how is this? How does it appear to me? And we investigate and we look and we see that the way each and every phenomenon appears to us is it appears to be truly existent. It appears as if it exists from its own side. And in investigating, we'll see that rather than existing in the way that it appears, it is a dependent arising. It does not exist in this way that it appears. So here we now have a number of minds present. We have the mind seeing the three jewels as faultless, then the various Dharma motivations, either for higher status or higher realm rebirth, or the mind for liberation, or the mind of wanting to attain Buddhahood. And then one of those combined with the wisdom realizing emptiness, or the wisdom understanding emptiness. With all that in mind, we then make the commitment to abandon the act of killing, to refrain completely from the act of killing. And when we have all these minds together at the same time, the commitment to not engage in this non-virtue, together with a motivation relating to refuge, and then one of the Dharma goals, as well as emptiness, then we will be like this performer who's singing and dancing, and facial expressions and everything is harmonious, and therefore it's working powerfully together. So just like this talented performer, we need to ensure that when we make a commitment to, for example, not to kill, that it comes together with a motivation relating to refuge, one of the Dharma goals, and this mind of emptiness. And in particular, if we have refuge, bodhicitta, and emptiness together, then our motivation is going to be supremely powerful. The virtue that we're going to accumulate from this promise will be immense. And then furthermore, there's still even more to this. Not only will the virtue that we accumulate be immense, but the power of this virtue will lead to a tremendous amount of purification of previously accumulated negativities. So just to repeat this again, in addition to accumulating a huge amount of virtue, we will also purify a huge amount of previously accumulated negativities. And let's bring this all together. We will be like this skilled performer.
So,
で、その時、で、サムロで、シェラウンドで、で、ギュギョマラで、で、なんか、そうちぎよまじぎよまで、そうちぎめ、せんで、サムロで、なんつうの、え、にみちいな、さがず、ほぐでらな、え、こやで、にゅにゅろわ。で、なんつうの、だんごまら、じだ、そうちまちばたまと、だ、そうちめ、せんで、サムロで、え、シェラダンゴマラ。で、じだ、そうちぎよまでね、ちぎめ、せんで、サムロで、なんつうの、ぎゅんとしら、ぎゅっとごまで。じだ、りんごんとぎゅやで、 そうちぎめせんでさむろで、やねやど、まじゅげて、で、そうちぎめせやさ。あね、あ、くまくめせやさ、ついしぎめせや、たまちぎめせ、ちぎおま、ちぎめ、ちぎめせんでさむろで、あんときゅう、きりなり、やねやど、やい、おんどぎゅうちゅうごわれ、おんどぎゅう。でねげ、そうちぎめせんでさむたいと、たちぎめ、でんさ、こんじゅうすんち、どんわれちゅうべ、にこんじゅうすんみわれ、せんべいだ、いこんじゅうり、いこんじゅうり、いちび、いちちぎけ。なんでね、さむたね、
かま、ニュースならチャサジコラジテージでわた。でね、ジメセンベだでねし。でね、ただね、センジャンシャンレペンバルグでんだ、サンジコバトバチグド、サンジコバトベチでいん、いんでんだんえで、ジメソチメセンベゲサムロシッター。でね、ダンサンでね、でねゲセンジャンソチメセンベサムロディア、たてまとよまだ、てままとばれこ、ファウトペタサン、ランウンドバデザーギのよまれ、センベサムタワン。でね、チャサジ、え、 なんで、レトウェアチクル。だから、ま、チーナー、チーナー、こうやって、でね、ならさんのチーナー、でね、ゲサムので、トゥースとか、ゼロ、ユニコーゼ、デュートドラチ。そして、デュースをラバーフェギー、ナサムダーカゼ、デュートドラチ。で、ニメチギリア、サルカゼ、マーケットメ、ね、ガママーケットヤギ、ドゥチェバイナ、だって、センベデュシューチェル、ニューチェル、ドゥーバーダ。で、ニギアチギ、ジャングエディダ、
別に社会で出るだけで、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビで出る、テレビ
주 산주 고만 토바 지긴 셈비 삼라다. 다 덴바 주바 요 마레스메 삼로 디수 예 야나야 리교 마. 대사 디니기 진 디순념도 가레 제베나 디니기 디순보디 념도 신나 야네 야도 야네 야도 삼려 코야야. 맞아 곰시디 디고고래. 제가데 곰 곰세디 곰 데라 야타라 미더니 용고로다. 이 지역음세다 조금세 제곰세도 두 제바체야 두 제바체 대제지도 삼나 제바체 되네 조금세데 되네 삼나 제주제도 세 삼나 제주제 되 그 삼나 샹나마 대치구 치구 삼다치 주스여바들 곰시고가 되네 삼다제 되네 삼다 되네 그것도 가면 지기가 되드나 뒤슬로 바베 삼다가데 또 님이 질려야 살가데 마지도네 아무도 신의 삼다데 우지 곰리다가제 이제
amongst us, we probably, all ten of us, we probably, amongst us, we probably all don't engage in these ten non-virtues. So I'm sure we don't kill, we don't steal, we don't engage in sexual misconduct, we don't lie, we don't engage in much, we don't engage in divisive speech or harsh speech. We probably do a bit of idle speech, but, and then with the mental ones, maybe a bit of covetousness, but probably no wrong views or harmful intent. So we all probably similar in this way. However, we probably also don't, whilst we don't have these thoughts, we don't engage in these acts so much, we probably don't generate this mind very frequently of, I need to refrain from engaging in harmful activities such as killing, stealing, etc. So we probably don't have this mind manifest very often at all. And however, this is something that we really need to try and cultivate and bring these minds present into our continuum so as to make them that much more powerful. And we need to therefore train repeatedly in making the mind of, I won't engage in killing, I won't engage in lying, I won't engage in stealing and sexual misconduct and the like. We need to repeatedly cultivate these minds, in other words, make them manifest. And if we do this every day just once or maybe several times in the day, then as we do it repeatedly, then we will start to become habituated with having these minds more manifest. In other words, they will start to naturally arise within us. We'll start to have it more present in our mind that these are acts to abandon and acts to refrain from. And especially when this cultivation is done in accordance with what has just been explained before. So you're not just thinking about one needs to abandon killing, but one needs to do it on the basis of refuge, that we are Buddhists, we have faith in the Buddha, the Buddhist teachings and the Arya community, and therefore we will apply these teachings, the trainings, the advice that we are given. And so and the advice includes to abandon, for example, killing, stealing, etc. And then furthermore, we're doing so with the awareness of the particular Dharma goal that we have, in particular the wish to release all sentient beings from suffering, and not just release them from suffering, but to take them to the state of full and complete enlightenment. And to do that, I myself need to attain enlightenment. So having this mind, then the contemplation on the 10 non-virtues will be that much more powerful. And then also, of course, this understanding of emptiness. So when you have all of this together, and we then contemplate the 10 non-virtues individually, what arises in our mind will be that much more powerful. And as we do this repeatedly, then the habit will form of thinking in this way. And then we'll have these minds of abandoning killing, abandoning stealing. They'll be present or manifest in our mind that much more often. So if this is something that we can do every day, then this is really will become very powerful. And because what's important is to have this continuity. And not just to, we sit here in class, we hear the teachings, and we leave it at that. So we have heard the teachings down the ten virtues, and previously the 10 non-virtues. But we need to do more than just hear the teachings. We need to think about them again and again and again. So here, just to say briefly again on the meaning of meditation. So in meditation is divided into two types. There is analytical meditation, and there's placement meditation. So we're talking here primarily about analytical meditation, this mind of analysis, this thinking mind. So you're thinking about the qualities of the three jewels and our motivation for taking refuge. Why are we taking refuge? Then we're thinking about we're doing the analytical meditation to develop the mind of bodhicitta and contemplating on emptiness and the like. So this is all within the type of meditation that's called analytical. Then the second type is that of placement meditation. So this is of the type that includes single-pointed meditation or calm abiding, where one takes the result of one's meditation and holds that result in an undistracted manner. So these are the two types of meditation, and they can both be used on these objects of the 10 non-virtues, supported by the minds of refuge, bodhicitta, and emptiness. And this is something that we should do repeatedly and consistently.
अरे ता देने चाहो तो उसे जिधर माँ ये दिशेगोरवा देने इंदा ता आँ तो छह आँ तं चौं आँ तो छह संगी दी जीवा चाहो वाले इन्हें मुने शिंदे चौं तो जिधर ने माँ चाहो तो चाहो ते का ना शेयर ना जिधर माँ को चाहो चाहो ते इन्हें इन्हें जी कोरोन तेजी जी से संपीक जेंसी दिने मारे ना दिने न्योप्तोरे शहर जेसी वो जिगो मारे ना ये दा चौंक जी चेहो जी चेहो चेहुगुए बादी चेहुगुए बादी ना हागुए वाले ना सोचे लाल जिगो रे वैसे ना जिगो मारे ना चौंक तो चेहो तो लगो ना चेहो मोचे
Yeah, it's important that I make clear that this advice that I'm giving is something, advice that is relevant to each and every one of us in the room, all of you before me and me as well. So please don't think that this teaching is only something for you. It's relevant to me as well. And in fact, I probably should make the most effort out of everyone because I'm the one called the teacher. So I really should be the one making the most effort here. So therefore, please be sure to understand that this teaching is relevant to all of us, and all of us, we need to apply these teachings and cultivate these teachings.
Mm. 사이 디네 가서 미지 와다 디네게다 디오에나 라미 디네 첨보이나 다 아 사이 세이고 와 토야 네미 규디네 응그리에 세지 기사제
Then previously when we were looking at the 10 non-virtues, when we looked at the 10 non-virtues, we saw the way that these karmic imprints ripen. So there was the presentation on the ripening effects, and we saw the fully ripened results, the results at the cause similar to the result, and we saw the environmental results, and the proliferating effect. So we looked at that previously. So here now we come to the presentation on the top of page 118, where we look at these four ripening results in the context of the 10 virtuous acts. So in terms of the fully ripened result, the fully ripened result of a virtuous act will be a rebirth in a happy migration. If that virtuous act that was very powerful, then a powerful karmic seed will have been accumulated, and that will result, when it ripens in the birth as a desire realm god, if the karmic imprint was of middling strength, it will ripen as a rebirth as a demigod, and if it's of a lesser strength, it will ripen as a rebirth as a human being. So then the effect similar to the cause as action. So this is the effect similar to cause of action will mean that we will continue to engage more and more in these virtuous activities. Then the effect similar to the cause as experience, then that result that comes from not killing will be not to be killed oneself and to have, or sorry, to rather to have long life and to not suffer from illnesses. And so we're going to continue here with the effects similar to the cause as experience. So for abandoning stealing, then that result would be that oneself doesn't encounter enemies and thieves and the like. And for refraining from sexual misconduct, one's partner, one will be harmonious with one's partner, one will get on very well with one's partner. And the result of abandoning lying or refraining from lying is that others will praise you and will speak well about you. And the result of abandoning divisive speech, then that would be that one will be harmonious harmonious and get on well with one's friends and loved ones, as well as one's employees and co-workers and the like. And the effect similar to the cause as experience of abandoning harsh speech will be that one only experiences pleasant speech. And the result of abandoning idle speech is that one's words will carry weight, and others will believe what one says, or have trust in what one says. And abandoning covetousness is the result is that what one wishes for will be attained. And the results similar to the cause relating to abandoning harmful intent is that one will not receive harm from others.
다데네 로다 빠바인자 디 제보 규링이 제보라 카용어서 소소리야 안에 따와 따와 상보디게 얘기해.
And the result of abandoning wrong views is that one's own views will be in accordance with the Dharma, and these will grow and strengthen. Then the third of the ripening results is that of the conditioning effect or environmental result. So here the environmental result for the virtuous acts is that one will live in a pleasing and pleasant environment, an environment that is not harsh and difficult to live in. And the elements will be, the rain will fall on time and the right amount, etc. So the elements will also be in harmony. And then the proliferating effect is that one will continue to accumulate virtue, and this virtue that's been accumulated will grow in strength. So tonight we've come to the end of this section here on the 10 virtuous actions. So here just to say then in summary that whatever we engage in, we should, before we engage in this, we should generate this mind of refuge. And so then in our own practice, we should make a habit of, when we're engaging in our meditation, say in the morning, first to generate the mind of refuge, thinking about the three jewels and why we go for refuge to them, and make this mind of refuge strong. Then we think about the faults of samsara and how there is no lasting happiness to be found within samsara at all. And to be liberated from this constant state of meeting difficulty and obstacle and problem after obstacle and problem, we need to implement the method that is presented in the Buddha Dhamma. And so, and then take this understanding of the suffering state of samsara and remind ourselves how this doesn't just relate to myself, but it relates to each and every sentient being. Those that I love and care for, those whom I don't currently have a relationship with, and those that I'm separated from, that whose company I don't enjoy. All sentient beings, they are the same as me in not wanting to experience any form of suffering, and rather only want to experience happiness. Seeing how we are all in the same position, we remind ourselves then of the tremendous kindness that sentient beings have shown us directly and indirectly in this life as well as throughout all our previous lives. And thinking like this, we continue with the cultivation of bodhicitta, of how all sentient beings have been shown us such kindness. They're trapped in suffering, the suffering state of samsara right now. And we continue this cultivation of bodhicitta, and then when we come to the cultivation of that mind, where we make the commitment to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings, we then move the meditation to emptiness, and thinking about the emptiness of all phenomena and sentient beings and the like. So this meditation is something that we really need to do as much as possible, and if we can repeatedly cultivate minds such as bodhicitta, love and compassion, reciting mantras such as Om Mani Padme Hum and the like, then these minds will become that much more powerful due to our habituation to these minds. So here we all sitting in this room, we aspire to the Mahayana Dhamma, we aspire to cultivate or attain the Mahayana Dhamma within our mind, we aspire to develop the Mahayana path, and we have as part of this motivation, the goal of Buddhahood. So we have, of all the goals, the greatest goal is the goal that we all hold. And the Dharma that we have come in contact with presents the faultless path to attaining that. And to attain this goal of Buddhahood, one needs a huge amount of virtue. And the Mahayana Dharma presents us with the techniques to attain that virtue that we require. And to attain the state of Buddhahood, it's essential to have the mind of bodhicitta, the mind that wants to help all sentient beings and help them in both a temporary but in particular an ultimate way, a profound way, a mind that wants to free all sentient beings without exception from suffering. And with such a mind, if such a mind is present, it's very clear that one will wholeheartedly refrain from any negativity, any slight negativity with the body, with the speech or thoughts. One will wholeheartedly want to abandon all negativities. So this contemplation that I've briefly described here is something that really everyone should try and do at least every morning. And then if you've done this in the morning, you've established a basis. And then throughout the day, if you can develop the habit of just reminding yourself, taking a few moments here and there when you're doing some mundane activity where you're not having to think about much, boiling the kettle or whatever, remind yourself about your contemplation, bring those minds up again. And then in the evening, if you have the opportunity, to repeat the meditation. And then the fourth one would be when you lie down. Remind yourself again of your meditation so that you have the mind that you cultivated, even if it was only in the morning, or you maybe recultivated in the day or that evening, refreshes at night before lying down, so it impacts on your dream state and virtue can continue to be accumulated then. And if we do this habitually, the more we do it, but certainly habitually and reliably and sequentially, or yeah, every day, then this habit will become powerful and the virtue will become powerful, and we in this life will attain happiness, and we will be creating the causes to experience good rebirths and progress towards our goal of Buddhahood. And then one more thing just to add to this is that prayer is also something that's very important. So we make our dedications of our virtue to the welfare of all sentient beings. We make aspirational prayers that we may become a refuge for all sentient beings, that all our activities lead sentient beings to a state where they are free from suffering, and in particular, not just temporary suffering, but lasting, a state where they attain lasting happiness. So here, in addition to engaging in this cultivation of the minds of definite emergence, bodhicitta and emptiness and the like, we should also place some importance on our prayers and our aspirations. When we meet together next year, we will continue here on page 118 with the third major section, the all-determining quality of actions. Tonight is our the last time we come together as a group of friends for this year. So now we come to the point of dedicating the virtue that we've accumulated tonight. But we've been studying together for 10 months. So now we can bring together all this tremendous virtue that we've accumulated over the year, and we can dedicate it together tonight. So when we recite our dedication prayers in a few moments, then bear in mind a few additional points, such as that our teachers, such as His Holiness Lama Zopa and our other teachers, that they have long and stable lives, and that all their hopes and aspirations are accomplished immediately. And furthermore, have the aspiration that our own mental development, our own studies, and our own meditation practice, that this develops, and that we overcome all obstacles so that we can continue on our progression to attaining our Dharma goals. And then thirdly, that what all the virtuous projects of our Dharma center, of the monastery, and of the stupa, that these too be achieved as quickly as possible. And then lastly, that we dedicate that all sentient beings experience only happiness, and that peace prevails in the world. And so those are the four things that I ask that you keep in mind tonight now when you dedicate all this merit: the long life of our teachers, that our studies and meditation is successful, that the projects here are successful, and that all beings are happy and world peace is attained. So I'm going to India tomorrow. I won't be here to wish you Happy Christmas and Happy New Year, so I wish that for you now. And I would take this opportunity also to thank you for the opportunity that we've had together this year, and I've taken great pleasure in it, and there's been tremendous benefit from it, and I look forward to all of us coming together in a couple of months' time. So thank you very much. Next time maybe. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
My point of view, I feel very fortunate to have made the connection with you. I'm very much looking forward to seeing you next year.
Thank you. Hi. 예, 지지하시길 달러 성숙의 여부족 응원에 아주 출처수의 예문이 설득적인 성기도 도출하 성숙을 맡은의 시기에 레벨수 좀 보자
땡겨